You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN 91.9 FM. I'm Katie Frankowitz. A federal judge last night blocked any National Guard deployments to Oregon for several more days. As Oregon Public Broadcasting's Conrad Wilson reports, the judge said she needs more time to review evidence from a trial that ended last week.
U.S. District Court Judge Karen Emmerich's block on the Trump administration deploying the National Guard to Oregon extends until 5 p.m. on Friday. She says she needs more time to review hundreds of exhibits and additional arguments. This new order is the latest in a months-long legal battle over the president's efforts to send Guard members to Portland. Emmerich's decision on Sunday is not final, but it suggests she's likely to side with the states of Oregon and California and the city of Portland. They've sued to block the deployment, saying the president's actions are unlawful and a violation of state sovereignty. I'm Conrad Wilson in Portland.
Two judges have ordered the Trump administration to use emergency reserve money to fund the federal food assistance program known as SNAP. But people waiting for their food stamp benefits could still see a delay. OPB's Bryce Dole reports.
Lawmakers have yet to fund the government, including the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. The judges ordered the U.S. Department of Agriculture to use contingency funds appropriated by Congress. But many people across Oregon have already used up their October SNAP benefits, and the federal government hasn't given the state any money for November yet. It'll take time to get SNAP payments back on track, possibly weeks. That assumes the Trump administration complies with the judge's order. For now, at least one organization is still preparing for longer lines at its food pantries. Scott Cooper is the executive director of Neighbor Impact in Central Oregon. He said, quote, "There's no way they fund those SNAP cards tomorrow." The federal government is expected to appeal the ruling. I'm Bryce Dole, reporting.
As of Monday morning, the White House has said it will only make partial SNAP payments for this month. Meanwhile, leaders on Oregon's North Coast are encouraging their communities to support area food banks amid uncertainty around SNAP. Oregon Governor Tina Kotek has declared a 60-day food security emergency and directed $5 million from unspent federal temporary assistance for needy families funds to the state's food bank network. In Tillamook County, around 5,000 people receive SNAP benefits. Without those benefits, they fall back on a network of 8 food pantries across Tillamook County. But County Commissioner Aaron Scar says the local food banks are already operating beyond their capacity, making support from the community even more critical. In Clatsop County, local leaders say people who receive SNAP should continue following SNAP rules and reporting requirements. The Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children, also called WIC, remains open and continues to provide services like nutrition support. Many families in Clatsop County may qualify for both SNAP and WIC. Jill Quackenbush, Public Health Division Manager for Clatsop County, says people who are pregnant, have a new baby, or have young children should reach out to WIC, even if the household also uses SNAP. In Clatsop County, a number of nonprofits, businesses, and other organizations rallied over the weekend to collect food donations or to direct money to local food banks. KMUN plans to speak with local social service providers, in particular food banks and community pantries, this week as the situation continues to develop. If you've been a longtime volunteer at a local food bank on Oregon's North Coast or in Southwest Washington, or if you are someone who relies on the food provided through these programs and you're interested in telling your story, we are looking to highlight community voices and community stories. You can reach out to me directly by emailing me at katie@kmun.org. That's K-A-T-I-E. @kmun.org. Or you can call the station during regular business hours at 503-325-0010. Just ask for Katie Frankowitz. This is KMUN. Elections are being held in a number of counties across the nation tomorrow. In KMUN's listening area, elections will be held in Columbia County, Oregon, and in Pacific and Wakayakum counties in Washington state. Voters have until 8 p.m. on Tuesday to return their ballot via an official county drop box. Ballots returned by mail must be postmarked on or before Election Day. In Pacific County, each of the three seats up for election for the Ocean Beach School District Board of Directors is being contested. Other contested races include the Ilwaco mayor position and seats on both the Port of Ilwaco and Port of Peninsula's commissions. Accessible voting equipment is available at the auditor's office in South Bend in Pacific County. In Wakayakum County, one of the bigger races is for the position of Wakayakum County Sheriff. John Mason, who was appointed to the post in 2024, received a vast majority of the votes in the primary election. An investigation by Investigate West found that his opponent, John Grasseth, faces claims of domestic violence and dishonesty. In the town of Cathlamet, current town councilor Laurel Waller faces off against Nicholas Sievald in the race for mayor. Current mayor David Olson opted not to run for re-election. In Columbia County, three people are running for the position 2 seat on the Columbia County Board of Commissioners. Incumbent Kelly Jo Smith faces challengers Jonathan Barclay and Jerry Cole, the longtime mayor of Rainier. Democrats at the national level are strategizing about how to win in the 2026 midterm elections. As OPB's Eric Newman reports, one group is looking at the centrist politics of a Southwest Washington Democrat as a possible model.
U.S. Representative Marie Glusenkamp-Perez sits with a dozen residents in the clubhouse of Vista del Rio on a recent Tuesday. It's a manufactured home park in Vancouver. She's here to talk with senior citizens about affordable housing. Some in the group say they're Trump supporters, but soon they start thanking the two-term Democrat for being willing to vote on issues across party lines.
Well, I really appreciate that.
It's
thanks
the only path forward.
Yeah.
Yes.
We gotta have 150 of you.
I mean,
that are reasonable, logical people who.
Being a moderate blue-collar Democrat who can appeal to Republican and independent voters and win purple districts is a strategy that some national groups are hoping to copy in 2026. As a first-time politician a few years ago, Glusenkamp-Perez won her third district seat for Democrats for the first time in more than a decade. She's voted against her own party on some contentious topics and seems to relish the role.
I think that anything that moves us off the ledge of feeling like winning is defined by complete annihilation of people who disagree with you is a good thing.
Similar working class candidates have been appearing in high profile races around the country lately. There's a waitress raised on a dairy farm running for a House seat in Wisconsin, an Army veteran and oyster farmer running for Senate in Maine, and another Senate candidate in Iowa who's a mechanic and former Marine. All are Democrats. Before Congress, Glusenkamp-Perez helped run an auto repair shop in Portland.
For me, it's exciting that we have candidates that, you know, are breath of fresh air, that are people that you want to go sit down and have a beer with.
That's Dean Nielsen, a political consultant in Seattle with CN4 Partners. He says what's different this year is recruitment of Democratic candidates who work with their hands and have strong ties to their communities. One of the groups promoting Glusenkamp-Perez is the Washington, D.C.-based Welcome Pack. Its goal is to win enough seats to take back the House of Representatives. Lauren Pope is the Super PAC's co-founder.
The vision of our organization is essentially to recalibrate Democrats to where the median voter is.
Welcome PAC's bet is that despite the increasingly polarized tone of national politics, most voters are neither extreme liberals nor extreme conservatives. The group is backing independent-minded candidates in districts President Trump won, even if those candidates sometimes frustrate progressives.
You don't necessarily always get a reward for being a depolarizer and prioritizing place-based politics and the things that your district prioritizes, but you do get electoral victories.
That pitch is appealing to some donors in Southwest Washington. Camas resident David Nirenberg is a longtime supporter of Glusenkamp-Perez. For years, he worked for Utah Republican Mitt Romney. Nirenberg and his wife Patricia have given $770,000 to the Welcome Pack since early last year, according to election filings. He says his contributions are helping the Super PAC with candidates in about a dozen seats around the country.
I do not necessarily expect that they will always vote
with House Democratic leadership because they are independent thinkers.
Over the years, the Nirenbergs have given millions of dollars to hospitals, early learning programs, and animal welfare groups in Southwest Washington. He's now supporting moderate Democrats because he's worried about how regular people will be hurt by cuts to social services in President Trump's Big Beautiful Bill.
What I'm doing politically aligns well with where I'm spending my time and our money as philanthropists, trying to focus on those people who are at the greatest risk of being left behind.
There are a few different ways to think about how this political strategy might play out, according to Jan Volkel. He's an assistant professor of public policy at Cornell University. His research focuses on political polarization.
Nowadays, voters dislike the other party much more than they did 40 years ago.
But at the same time, he says politicians have drifted farther to the extremes than most Americans have.
We find over and over again that voters support democratic principles and they are exhausted of political polarization.
It's anybody's guess whether promoting bipartisanship in the midterms is a winning approach, but it's resonating with some voters in Southwest Washington. I'm Eric Newman reporting.
The case of a missing Tulalip woman helped fuel new efforts to address missing Indigenous persons in Washington. Now, local law enforcement officials say her remains have been found. KUOW's Amy Radle reports.
Almost 5 years ago, Mary Johnson Davis disappeared while walking on the Tulalip Reservation. Now, the FBI's Seattle field office says her DNA has been matched to human remains found in a remote part of Snohomish County last June. The Tulalip Police Department says the investigation of her death remains active and ongoing. Her sister said in a statement they're saddened by the news, but also at peace knowing Mary has been found and will be brought home. Her case helped lead to the state's creation of new email and social media alerts, specifically for missing Indigenous persons in 2022. I'm Amy Radle reporting.
I'm Skylar Butenchin. You're listening to KMUN. Federal lawmakers are currently facing off over extending health subsidies that drive down the cost of Affordable Care Act insurance. Some tax credits are set to expire at the end of the year, and without them, tens of thousands in Washington state could lose their health insurance. KNKX reporter Mitch Borden takes a look at who may still be able to qualify for help on Washington Health Plan Finder.
On a recent sunny afternoon, I stopped by Rebecca Staffel's house.
Hello,
Mitch.
How's it going?
Good. Come on in.
Thank you.
Did you
get
She's 57 food? And a freelance consultant that works in marketing and documentary production. Staffel and her retired husband rely on Affordable Care Act insurance to cover their medical expenses. But with some subsidies set to expire, she's bracing for prices to surge.
In theory, we could be going from paying $400 a month this year to almost $2,200 a month next year.
When we spoke, Staffel was convinced she wouldn't receive any insurance subsidies, so she was considering abandoning her consulting business to find a job with health insurance, even if it's just working at a coffee shop.
It seems absurd that I would go work 30 hours a week as a barista for a low rate and then not be able to make the money that I can make as a consultant just so that I can afford this health insurance.
Another option is to risk it. Staffel says she and her husband are healthy. They exercise and don't need to go to the doctor very often. So maybe they could get by without insurance.
Obviously, if something terrible happens, that could be bankruptcy.
Staffel isn't the only person that may have to think about going without coverage. Washington health officials estimate that around 80,000 people will drop their health insurance because it'll be too expensive without the ACA tax credits. Washington State Insurance Commissioner Patty Kuderer says this could eventually drive up insurance prices across the board.
It's typically going to be the stronger, healthier people that decide that they can't afford to go without health care. So you're going to have a sicker risk pool overall, and that means increased utilization, which will cause an increase in premiums.
Currently, insurance brokers are preparing ahead of the new year to help customers find health plans they can afford and that suit their needs. Gary Franke is with Heffernan Insurance Brokers and specializes in ACA plans. He says some households will still qualify for affordable insurance.
A lot of people think there's going to be no financial aid, and that's simply not true.
Frankie says the expiring subsidies really help the middle class. Whether someone receives insurance subsidies depends on how much money they make and the size of their family. Now income limits will be lower, and he says people will have to be careful not to go above them.
So if somebody makes above a certain level, they're not going to get any tax credits. For example, household of one is $62,000, household of two is $84,000, and like if you have like a household of five, it's $150,000.
Those are rough estimates, but the Washington Health Plan Finder has a tool to help people shop for 2026 insurance plans, which factors in the expiring tax credits and estimates their cost. I was curious about Rebecca Staffel's situation, who we met earlier. I typed in her information and then gave her a call. Rebecca, I appreciate you jumping on the phone with me real quick because I think I might have some good news for you.
Okay.
Staffel assumed that she wouldn't receive any ACA subsidies, but since she expects to make less than $84,000 next year, she still qualifies. And according to the state's estimate, the cost of Staffel's health plan shouldn't spike, which was a surprise. According to the calculator, you will be able to afford health insurance.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this is a huge weight off my shoulders. Wow, yeah.
She'll still have to be careful. As a freelance consultant, Staffel's income fluctuates. That means she'll have to make sure she doesn't earn too much money next year, or she'll have to pay full price. Staffel doesn't think buying health insurance should be this difficult.
If it was this hard for me to figure out, imagine someone who is also juggling their kids with their freelance career or has to take care of elderly parents. Like, this is too much.
Washington Health Plan Finder will begin offering 2026 ACA health insurance plans next month. The time to sign up begins on November 1st and continues through January 15th. I'm Mitch Borden, reporting.
An animal found only on the Olympic Peninsula is now the subject of a federal lawsuit. Environmentalists are suing the Trump administration to protect the Olympic marmot as an endangered species. KUOW's John Ryan reports.
Marmots are house cat-sized rodents. They're sometimes called whistle pigs. Here's one whistling at Hurricane Ridge in Olympic National Park, recorded by sound engineer Jeff Rice. The park's mountain meadows are home to about 3,000 Olympic marmots. A warming climate is shrinking those meadows and making it easier for coyotes to reach marmot country as it gets less snowy each year. The nonprofit Center for Biological Diversity is suing the Interior Department after the agency failed to issue a ruling on the marmot's need for federal protection. An Interior spokesperson says the agency does not comment on ongoing litigation. I'm John Ryan, reporting.
Local and regional news on KMUN is brought to you by our news partners and the KMUN news team. That includes host and producer Skylar Butenshin, news intern Sylvia Thorpe, and me, news director Katie Frankowitz. Thanks for listening. This is KMUN.